couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And Kevin, this is it.
We're
going to be serious men and talk about the new Coen Brothers movie. And then we're, of course, going to talk about the big release of the week, already in theaters, already has made $1 billion at the box office. Jackson's This Is It.
I don't think that's totally accurate. It is in theaters.
That's my totally not accurate prediction for the week.
Okay.
But before we get into that, here's how you can get a hold of us, fatguysthemovies.com. You can get us over to iTunes. Get over to iTunes, search Fat Guys the Movies, subscribe to us, download our episodes, review us to your heart's content, say nice things about me and bad things about Kevin. And that'll be great. And
did that review ever come through from our friend in Sweden?
I don't know. I'll have to check while we're doing the show.
We'll check on the break.
And let's see. What
and
else?
Any voicemails? Any voicemails?
Hold on. I'm getting through the list
here.
You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. To my knowledge, there were no voicemails. I checked it. I'm hoping the number still works.
I may have to call that number.
We
did that once, and it wasn't working.
What
is it again? Here, I'll just call it right now.
It's area code 614.
Live radio.
614-388-8735.
Wait. My iPhone, which doesn't work very fast.
Wow.
I need to. All right.
Anyway.
614-388-8735.
While Kevin's doing that, you can also get us on Twitter. Twitter.com/rejects is my Twitter. I was named one of the 30. Hey, it's working.
It's ringing. That doesn't mean anything.
I declined it. Because I'm talking to you. Anyway.
Well, you declined it. That means that nobody can leave a message. Maybe all they do is just get declined calls.
Oh.
It went to a busy signal, so.
Oh. Well, I'll fix that later. Anyway. Yeah.
This has happened before.
You can follow us on Twitter. My Twitter is twitter.com/rejects.
What Twitter award? Did you win a Twitter award?
No,
on
the rap.com, which is a major like trade website, insider Hollywood website. Name me one of the 30. It was like 30 movie insiders you need to be following on Twitter right now.
On Twitter.
And I was dead last.
Were they at Rejects or like Reject Nation? Because you've got Twitter accounts.
It was my personal one because of my they said it was because of my Twitter reviews. Because I said mean things about Amelia in a very funny way. So
I agreed with what you said about Amelia.
Well, yeah. I think everybody did. That's why. But you can also get the live tweeting Kevin Carr at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
Yeah.
Two R's.
That's right.
All right. Well, now that we got all that out of the way, let's talk about this first movie here, right?
Sure.
First flick is A Serious Man, directed by the Coen brothers, in which a Jewish math professor in the 1960s Minneapolis watches his life fall apart around him.
Please, I need help. I've had marital problems.
Honey, I think it's time that we start talking about a divorce.
Larry, we're gonna be fine.
Professional, you name it.
Larry, we've received a number of letters denigrating you and urging us not to grant you tenure.
I need help.
We're gonna be fine.
I've tried to be a serious man.
We're gonna be fine.
Now, when did you see this? Did you see this at like a film festival,
or
did
it screened here in Austin a few weeks back. It might have been an Austin Film Critics Association screen. It released here. It's been out here for a few weeks.
Yeah, because it's been in limited release for a while, but it's going wider. It's hitting Columbus today, and I just put it on there because it's one I've seen, and I didn't just want to talk about Michael Jackson the whole time.
Right. Well, plus A Serious Man is a good movie to talk about. It's
sure.
It's another kind of textbook Coen brothers film in which
can you say textbook Coen brothers?
Yeah.
Don't they defy?
Well, they do so well at creating an aesthetic and creating an environment around their films, and I think this is the same thing. I feel like this is their most personal movie because it's about growing up. It's about this Jewish man, this Jewish math professor. And it's kind of about his kids as well, kind of about growing up in that time. And it's about he's got this broken marriage. And
Is it very autobiographical? Or I don't know.
I'm not sure how autobiographical it is.
I mean, are they even Jewish? I don't know.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just curious because I just didn't know.
And it really, it kind of just takes, I thought it was very interesting just to see how it kind of takes literal interpretation of faith.
Mm-hmm.
As in, you know, it starts with this Yiddish folktale about they kill this member of the Walking Dead and it curses his family. So this guy is totally cursed.
Yeah.
And by the end of the movie, you realize that he's pretty much doomed. Like his,
yeah.
I mean, everything that can go wrong will go wrong in this guy's life. And I thought it was extremely funny, incredibly well made. Mm-hmm. You know, not the best Coen Brothers movie because they've made some, I mean, Big Lebowski. Let's be real here.
It was better than The Unborn.
Sure.
Well, no, because that the Feivish Finkel, his character in the beginning, the Dubik, mm-hmm. is it Dubik? Is that how you pronounce
it? Yeah.
That was the demon from The Unborn.
Oh, well, of course. But I think I really feel like
it was the one demon that wasn't trying to get inside of Odette Yutzman.
Yeah, this is kind of a very cool movie. the Coen Brothers making a film that's a little bit more autobiographical than their previous work. I don't think Big Lebowski has anything to do with anyone's real life, but I hope it does.
We hope not. I don't know. You know, I was kind of underwhelmed by it.
Uh-huh.
Simply because it was, let's say, I saw it in a press screening, and mm-hmm. the room was, it was, there were a lot of press there, and the press really, the other members of the press really seemed to think it was funny. I just didn't, it didn't strike me as overtly funny as all their other stuff. I mean, maybe on a second viewing, I'll like it, because that's exactly
what
happened.
There's a lot of very Jewish humor in this movie.
Well, yeah, and I wrote to the publicist who emailed me afterwards, like, what'd you think? And I'm like, if I had not grown up Presbyterian and grown up Jewish, I would probably connect more with it.
Right.
Because
if you had that upbringing, it'll be way funnier for you.
Yeah.
You know,
and I mean,
like,
I know people, I have friends of mine, and there's one woman in particular I know who's very much into the Jewish faith. I'm like, oh, she'd probably think this was the most hilarious film that ever got released, because she would get all the jokes. I mean, everybody, if you're not Jewish, you know what a bar mitzvah is. But there's, you may not know what a get is. You may not know what sort of like, or what it was like to grow up in the 60s with a Jewish upbringing as well. I mean, you can't remove the faith from this movie.
I mean, it's similar to the way I thought that Doubt was hilarious.
Yeah.
Having grown up Catholic.
Because you were molested by a priest, weren't you?
No, I just thought it was funny.
Oh, okay. I saw Burn After Reading last year, and I was sort of eh. I was very much eh with that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw it again when it came on DVD, and I really enjoyed it the second time around. And I have a feeling that's what A Serious Man is. It's one of those movies, at least for me, where I kind of have to know what it is going into it to get it. Because I was like literally for the first half of the movie waiting for something to happen, and really nothing happens. But that's kind of the point.
That is ultimately the point. And I love the ending.
Nothing happens, but everything happens.
And nothing and everything all happen. And it ends in still weird. I thought the first time I saw it, I thought that like the film got cut off.
Yeah, same here.
But that is, you know, it's just one of those cool little Coen Brothers tricks. So I'm saying it totally rocks. I say go see Serious Man.
On the onset, I'm just going to say kind of sucks, which is a daring thing for me to say. But
that is
maybe
daring.
On a second viewing, it'll be better.
All right. Well, we'll be right back. And we're back here on Fat Guys at the Movies, and it is time to shamo. Get it?
That's just ignorant.
Wow. Anyway, the next movie is the only wide release this week. It is Michael Jackson's This Is It.
Yeah.
In which they want... Wow.
You didn't read the show notes, did you?
According to the official show notes, we want money, 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 and our cash cow died in June.
Hold for applause, fade out.
Michael has a depth to him that people don't really know.
This is a dream come true. When MJ comes in the room, his presence is just amazing. That's why I write these kind of songs. It gives some sense of awareness and awakening and hope to people.
The why at the center of everything that we're doing is so much about this.
I feel so blessed that I can give the world that.
Let's offer love.
Now, we saw this at the same time, didn't we? I think we actually saw
we
it
did.
At the same time. What time we of day was your screening? 8:30?
Mine was at 8 p.m. Yeah. Central Time.
Mine was at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So it was all right around the same time.
Right.
To do the press screening. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you have first crack at it because we got 9 minutes left in this segment, and I think I will take all of that up with my venom for this film.
Really, I don't understand how you can hate this movie. Because first of all, are you not a Michael Jackson fan?
I was in the 80s.
So you were in the 80s.
I grew up, during his heyday, like Beat It and Thriller and Billie Jean, all those. I remember that was really cool then. They were great songs, and they still are great songs. I don't listen to a lot of his stuff. I kind of waned off of that by mm-hmm. the 90s. But in sort of the popular culture, I think... Black and White was probably his last bona fide hit across the board that kind of like everybody was aware of. That was in like 90, 91.
Well, I
like
think,
that.
And here's what I think, here's what I liked about the movie. What I appreciated most about it is it celebrated Michael Jackson, the performer, and really didn't have much to do with Michael Jackson, the man. Other than there were some very human moments.
The drug abuser and the child molester.
It didn't deal with any of the controversy. So I think it's a very good film for the fans in that regard. Mm-hmm. And also, I think they did a very good job of taking this concert that he was going to put on and essentially putting it on film. Mm. And you can see, and it's not perfect. There are times when he screws up songs and they're trying to
this
get stuff
right.
This
is why we have rehearsals.
And and I think that it was a very fascinating, intimate look at his process as a performer, and it also kind of showed that he really still had it right there up until the end. He really, he really still had energy. He really still, was the same performer, and I thought it was great. It was sad. It was soulful. It was energetic. It was. It's a very good, interesting documentary. It's not really a documentary. It's more like a concert film. It's a very good concert film for fans, and I think it's probably about as close as people will ever have gotten to Michael Jackson.
Well, not everybody.
Well, there's
a handful of children out there.
the general consensus, but I think if you, when you think about Michael Jackson, there's really two sides of it. There is Michael Jackson, the personal, like his personal life that is all over the place. And but I think that then you have a lot of people choose to really think about Michael Jackson as Michael Jackson the performer and the King of Pop and what he did on stage and on in his music, and that this celebrates only half of that. And I think that it does that very well. Is this the definitive Michael Jackson story? Does this tell? No, it's just a concert movie. But it's a very entertaining concert movie.
Oh, see, now this is where I'll disagree. And all, all kiddie jokes aside and all drug abuse and all tabloid stuff aside, this is at the core why I didn't like the movie. It reminds me of a time I used to work at a publishing company, and there was this boss of mine, and she was flighty and goofy. And we finished a project, and so the people that were she managed went in, and we bought her a gift. And it was like a book. I mean, it was nothing big. And she's like, oh, thank you, because it was sort of customary to buy your editor a present. And she turned around, then she started, then she's like, oh, I was at Barnes & Noble the other day, and I was going to get you this book, and I was going to get you this. And she went ahead and told each of us what she had thought to get us, but never actually did. So we literally had to sit there and say, it was basically her saying, well, I was going to get you this great book, but this great present, but I didn't. But wouldn't it have been awesome if I did? And that's sort of the way I felt about this movie. It was rehearsal footage, and this is what people got to understand. It's rehearsal footage, and I don't fault Michael Jackson for this, but he wasn't at his best in the rehearsal because it was rehearsal footage. I mean, he wasn't singing to his full degree, and I don't even know how much of that was where they brought in original soundtracks. I don't know how much of the singing was actually him singing at that time, or whether they just mixed it so it sounded good. And his dancing was sort of half there, because you don't want to break a hip before you have your opening night. Now, his backup dancers were going crazy, because they're like, I'm on stage with Michael Jackson. Woohoo! You know?
Right. And, well, and they're all like 19 years old.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, was he able... I did a radio interview this week, and the host asked me, he's like, well, I heard that he could keep up with even his young backup dancers. I'm like, well, no, not really. But he wasn't trying to. I mean, I don't fault him for giving a, you know, for lack of a better term, half-assed performance, because it was rehearsal. They even have him say that a couple times in the movie. But it was really... And then they'd, like, finish certain segments of it, like the Thriller segment with the graveyard, and then they had this... I don't even remember what song it was, but they had this backdrop of a heat wave in New York City. So they finished these segments of it, but it was... All it really did... I thought it was not a good concert movie, because it was a rehearsal movie, not a concert movie, for people who want to see that. So really what it is, it just kind of said, look how awesome this concert would have been, but it wasn't. So this is the closest you're going to get. And so it wasn't, it didn't deliver in that sense. On Michael Jackson's side of it, here's the thing. Most of the stuff that was, the songs that, were going to be, that were on the set list, the best ones were like pre-1990. I mean, you had Beat It, you had Thriller, you had...
Of course.
And really showed his legacy was pre-1990, and he did some stuff after that, but all the you don't know all the songs. And it comes to a screeching halt in the middle with this Earth Love video or whatever it is, and then has this pretentious narration.
Did you stay after the credits?
No,
you
stay I
all
didn't.
The way to the end?
I got out of there as quickly as I could.
Oh, it comes back.
Well, but here's the thing. Then it has Michael Jackson's voiceover, because it must have been from some interview or something he was doing, talking about how much he loved the Earth and he hated how people, you know, we need to take care of it, which I'm not saying...
You just don't like tree huggers.
No, you know why? Do you know how many trees had to be cut down to make the Neverland Ranch? And do you know how much energy it takes to run that place? And do you know how wasteful that guy is, and how much... They're burning things on set, and they have high... You know, high octane fuel to have this big fire ring go around, and I'm like, really seriously, you're literally preaching in the middle about how we need to be environmentally conscious, and it is the most unenvironmentally conscious concert that's ever been made. So, I mean, I guess if you're a diehard fan, if you really want to see Michael Jackson again on stage, you're going to like it. I mean, the people in the theater that I saw it, which was only about 2/3 full, by the way, they really enjoyed it, but I just thought I got bored with it. And I mean, all outside of what a creep I think Michael Jackson was, and I have no problem saying that. I don't care whether he's dead. You know, I mean, he was a jerk. He was a creepy guy who, at the very least, had a predatory attitude towards kids. Whether or not he violated it and did anything that's provable in a court of law, up in the air. Not completely discounted. But the guy was a creep, and the guy was a nut job. And it does come out in the movie where he's like, and it shows that Kenny Ortega's just sort of like his whipping boy in there. I mean, he's like, oh, this is my creative vision. And Michael Jackson's like, no, 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 I want to do it this way. And I'm going to just feel this cue, and it's going to happen. I mean, I don't think he came across well at all. And the beginning
you have to think about he was a professional. You know, I mean, he was a perfectionist in every sense of the word. So I think it just kind of shows that. I don't think he was like a tyrant.
No, I don't think he was either.
He wasn't like yelling and screaming at people.
No, I don't know if Michael
Jackson could get that high anymore.
But he came out as being just kind of wacky, as being like, no, I want to do it like there's this whole scene where he's like
a very whimsical person,
taking off his coat and having it burn and everything. Just let it burn. And everybody, all the backup dancers are like, what are you talking about?
I think this is what people will appreciate. What his diehard fans will really love about this movie, and I think there are enough of them out there for this movie to do extremely well. And I personally enjoyed it being just, you know, I mean, obviously I grew up listening to Michael Jackson's music. My mom's a big fan on all that. But
Gerard Butler and Michael Jackson, your mom's right
there. I definitely enjoyed it. And I thought it was very cool to kind of see the process. You know, I'm kind of a behind the scenes person as it is. I love to see the process behind something, and I thought it was very cool. And yeah, it would have made a heck of a show.
Yeah, no, the concert would have been awesome. It's sad that it didn't happen. If you like concerts. But you know, the opening, it opens with this long scroll of text that was longer than Star Wars. And then they have the interviews with backup dancers. And honestly, I thought it was a comedy when it started because people were...
Oh, the backup dancers were a little much.
That got a little... And I'm like, if an alien came from another planet and was like, wow, this is hilarious. This is the next Spinal Tap. So.
Anyway, I give it a totally rocks.
I say it sucked.
Fair enough. We'll be back in a moment.
Hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. Now that we've gotten the money Michael Jackson movie out of the way,
the excellent film that is Michael Jackson's This Is It,
the grab at money. Oh, one thing I forgot to mention, we talked about this on the air, they literally had a merchandise table outside the screening I went to.
Yeah, that's a little much.
That is much. I mean, it's already... Because, you know, here's the thing. His family wasn't happy about this movie. You know that, don't you?
I did not know that.
Yeah, like his... Well, not that his father cares, but like LaToya Jackson and Jermaine Jackson...
Oh, I'm sure Jermaine and Tito were pissed.
Well, they were complaining because... And they're rightfully so. They said he wasn't at his best. This was, again, just rehearsal. This wasn't him... Because he was a perfectionist, here's him... incomplete, imperfect moments. So they didn't like it, and they said it was just a money grab. And it was. It's a total money grab, which is sort of gross in a lot of ways.
Which is a great segue into what we're talking about next, which is box
money.
Office.
Box office
and
money.
How much money this is going to make. But first, let's talk about last week. A Paranormal Activity came in and swooped in and took the number one spot last week.
I have to give credit to John, the box office guy from Film School Rejects.
Yeah, he was one of the only ones I saw predicting that.
I thought he was nuts. I totally didn't think the I was like, seriously, Paranormal Activity is not going to get that much. Because I thought it was going to have a dip, even though it opened up wider. Mm-hmm. But he was absolutely right, man. It did better than Saw.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the interesting part is Paranormal Activity played in 1,900 theaters.
Yeah.
And made $21 million. Saw 6 played in 3,000 theaters. And only made $14 million.
Whereas Amelia played in 820 theaters and didn't even make $4 million.
Right. Well, Amelia deservedly finished 11th.
It didn't even make the top 10. We were talking about whether it would even make the top 5. It didn't even make the top 10.
Didn't even make the top 10. And the top 3, Paranormal Activity, Saw 6, Where the Wild Things Are, in third. And then you had Law Abiding Citizen and Couples Retreat. Astro Boy and The Vampire's Assistant finished 6 and 7. Both of those kind of mediocre, low release. I mean, Astro Boy is not too bad.
I don't think anyone was surprised with Astro Boy.
The Vampire's Assistant, I thought they expected a little bit more.
That's a shame. I like that movie.
It was actually a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, so moving on to next week, I think it's quite obvious what movie is going to win the box office.
One real quick thing about Saw 6.
Yeah,
I a lot of people were saying, oh, there are some people, including like Rob Hunter from Film School Rejects, that were like, oh, I'm glad to see it not do well because studios are so afraid to release a horror movie in October because of the Saw contingency. But my point is Saw, its budget was $11 million. So, and it didn't have that big of an advertising campaign. They hit low rent advertising. They did like internet and that sort of thing. Yeah. It's already profitable. The movie still is making tons of money. It's just not making as much money as the other ones had. It's not as good of a ratio, but it's still at this point right now, it's a profitable movie. So there'll be a Saw 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're going to continue to make more until they have to reboot the series.
Until they run out of numbers.
Yeah. Next week, I think the interesting thing about this coming week's box office is the gigantic predictions that we were seeing for This Is It.
Do you really think it's going to make $250 million in the first
five days? I don't. That was the prediction. It was Wednesday to Sunday, first 5 days, $250 million.
Are they talking in the States or worldwide?
I would imagine it has to be worldwide. I can see it doing that worldwide. I mean, that's...
I think it's going to be a much, much bigger movie outside of the United States than inside the United States. I mean, I think the Asian market's going to be big, you know, because
Europe's going to be huge.
Fan. Yeah, it's going to be big there. I really don't think... I am going to go on record and say that it's not even going to come close to the numbers that the Miley Cyrus concert did in the States.
I'm thinking first 5 days domestic, about 70 million.
Really?
Yes. Really? Five for the first 5 days.
This is my prediction. I think it's going to do incredibly well. And keep in mind, everybody who's listening to this, some of these numbers have already been released. We're recording this earlier in our time frame. But I think it's going to do very, very well for its Tuesday night midnight shows and its Wednesday during the day shows. But I think it's going to wane fast because everyone who wants to see the movie is going to see it in the first day or two. It's not like Transformers, which even though I wasn't a huge fan of that, I recognized that people saw it, then they wanted to see it again, and they saw it again. It was a big escapism thing. Same thing with like Titanic.
And then there were people who
Dark
waited
Knight.
And saw it in the second week.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's that. I mean, I think everybody who wants to see This Is It is going to see it in the first day or two. And all the hype, and I don't believe the hype because AEG has been promoting this like a whore. I mean, they've been like, oh, it's going to make $250 million and everyone loves it and it's the greatest selling preseason ticket type. And I'm like, no, it's not doing that. It's not going to do that well. Also, when I saw it at a 9:30 show. I got out of the movie at 11:30 for the press screening. Mm-hmm. And so I'm leaving the theater at 11:30. It's opening at midnight. There wasn't nobody there. And I've been to, like, at the midnight showing of stuff at that theater, like for Zombieland and, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes leading up to the movie, you could see people in line buying tickets at the concession stand. There's no, it was like the theater was closing. So I think it's going to do very well in the coastal cities like New York and LA and, you know, the big, or and even Chicago. But like, I think I really don't see people flocking to this in Kansas City.
Right.
You know, I really don't see people flocking to this in Austin, Texas, for that matter. I think it's going to do very well in limited markets. But I really think when all is said and done, when all the dust settles by the end of the weekend, it's going to be a disappointment. 50 million or less.
Ooh.
Easily less. I think less than 50 million.
I'll go over
the
50
five
million.
Days. Over the 5 days, I think less. I'll be surprised if it breaks 30 million for the weekend.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting, he says. All right. Well, the only other movies opening, Gentleman Broncos opening in 2 theaters, House of the Devil in 3 theaters. Boondock Saints opening in 65 theaters. None of those are going to even come close to the top 10. So
no. But I wouldn't be surprised if Paranormal Activity still holds strong. I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see much of a drop-off of Saw. I really don't think it's because it's Halloween. Because it literally, you can
it
go see
Halloween
it on
weekend.
Halloween day.
Right.
Saturday
and speaking,
is Halloween.
Speaking of Halloween weekend, it's time for us to do our Fat Guy 5.
Exactly. The five cinematic sex offenders.
So, top 5 people you should keep your kids away from this Halloween.
Yes, that is the official.
I'm kind of protesting it. I have my own Fat Guy 5, my favorite movies to watch on Halloween, and I'm going to do that.
This is way more relevant because it has Michael Jackson.
But we're going to do the list
at
the same time.
Did you hear that before he died, Michael Jackson was hanging around Target stores?
No.
Because he heard that
boys' pants are half off. That's
funny.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're going to do these lists at the same time. My list is favorite movies to watch on Halloween in protest to Kevin's list of the 5 cinematic sex offenders. So go ahead and start us off there, Kevin.
Let me start. And this one, I'm going to say I hedged a little bit on this one. It's Woody Allen. Because there's really no proof that he started his affair with Sunyan Previn, who was Mia Farrow's daughter. During her younger days, but she was like 22. He divorced Mia Farrow and then moved in with her. I mean, she's like 39 now, so she's totally legit.
Yeah.
But that was creepy nonetheless. So he gets
my first movie is Trick or Treat, which just came out on DVD.
The one with Skippy from Family Ties?
Yes.
No.
I guess.
No.
No. No. The Mike Doherty directed movie with Anna Paquin and Dylan Baker. And Tammo Pinkett from Battlestar Galactica. It's a very good movie.
Yeah. Okay.
Moving on.
My next one is Roman Polanski, who's made the news because is he getting sent back to the United States or not? I haven't heard what the final countdown was.
I don't know. Really
anyways,
care.
He had sex with a 13-year-old in the 70s, and his excuse was, dude, it's the 70s. Why should I be targeted? And then he left. When he was getting ready to be sentenced, he fled.
Speaking of 13-year-olds, they will like The Nightmare Before Christmas. Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Who Michael Jackson scarily looked like Jack Skellington.
Nice.
And I did say that Heath Ledger is not the only dead celebrity who looked like the Joker.
Wow.
So, my next next cinematic sex offender is Victor Salva. A lot of people don't know the name. He directed a movie called Clown House and molested the child who was the lead character in the movie. Went to jail, then had made a contract with Disney to make Powder, which did very well. The thing is, he's a very good director. But he diddles little boys.
He's also creepy.
And then he did Jeepers Creepers, which was about a predatory creature that ate young boys. Mm-hmm. And he made Jeepers Creepers too. Literally a convicted, served time in prison sex offender and was still allowed to make movies.
Hmm. So. Well, speaking of predatory characters that go after little boys, The Great Pumpkin, the Charlie Brown movie.
Not just any Great Pumpkin.
Just the Great Pumpkin is a fantastic movie to watch at Halloween.
Yes, all right. And speaking of, you had earlier had Tim Burton, one of Tim Burton's followers in his movies, who was in a lot of his movies, Jeffrey Jones. Mm-hmm. He took pictures of a 14-year-old boy, nudie pictures, and went to jail for it, and was later sued by the boy when the boy became 18. So, which is why you don't see him in too many movies nowadays, is people don't want to be the person. They should make a movie co-directed by Roman Polanski and Victor Salva, starring Jeffrey Jones and Woody Allen.
Nice. Well, speaking of boys who grow up to rage against people who have wronged them, Halloween, the story of Michael Myers, is a good movie.
You just mentioned a movie. It sounds like you're going to say something more than you just.
Nope, that's pretty much it. I mean, why wouldn't you watch Halloween on Halloween? It's Michael Myers killing people.
Yeah, why not? It's a family film.
Oh, the original. I'm sorry. Don't watch the Rob Zombie version. Watch the original John Carpenter version of Halloween, and ye shall be saved.
Yes. My next one is, and this one, it kind of falls in the camp of Woody Allen. Even though he did the deed, it was a little bit obfuscated. Rob Lowe had sex with a 16-year-old girl on camera during the Democratic National Convention in, was it 1988? Or 1992, whatever one it was.
No idea.
And but the thing is, he claims that he didn't know she was 16. And I kind of believe him on that, because it's like he met some girls at a bar and then stupidly videotaped it. This is way before Girls Gone Wild. So Rob Lowe, you know, it happened. He got in trouble and he bounced back. And he now stars in Brothers and Sisters as a senator.
Which is hilarious.
The concept or just the show?
The concept of Rob Lowe playing a senator.
Yeah.
But speaking of funny Hocus Pocus, this one actually goes out to my mom, who is a huge fan of this Hocus
It doesn't Pocus. Have Michael Jackson or Gerard Butler.
It does not have Michael Jackson or Gerard Butler in it, but it does have Bette Midler.
Okay.
And that's very funny.
And it has Sarah Jessica Parker. When
she was attractive, yes.
Kathy Nangini when she wasn't.
Kathy not Nangini... She's never really been attractive, but
no, she hasn't.
Anyway, but no, Hocus Pocus is a lot of fun. It's a great like movie, especially if you're gonna have like the kids around doing the trick or treat thing. It's kind of a fun film. I remember watching it when I was little. So
that's just ignorant.
Wow,
Shimona.
Anyway, and then we had an honorable mention. You actually helped with this one. Is the Simpsons episode, the Treehouse of Horror?
Well, it's the yearly. They always have
the yearly. It's an special,
honorable one. Yeah.
So that's a pretty good one to watch on Halloween. Do you have any others to add? Favorite movies to watch on Halloween?
The Thing.
The Thing. The Thing is a good one. I might watch that one this year.
That's my Christmas movie.
A long time. I think I'm gonna watch Poltergeist as well. So, anyway, we'll be back to wrap you up momentarily. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. We've gone through some interesting segments this week, in which we talked about A Serious Man, we talked about This Is It, we talked about the box office, we talked about some sex offenders, I guess, and favorite movies to watch on Halloween, I guess. I gave you, I believe that my Fat Guy 5 was much better than Kevin's this week.
No, so. if you're listening to us on the radio, go back to fatguysatthemovies.com and listen to the third segment. You'll be sad that you did. You will never forgive yourself.
You will never ever listen to us again. But anyway, as we do every week, it is time for the DVD roundup. And we'll start with me, because we always do. And I've got two picks this week. And I just discovered, of course, that next week the ultimate edition of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation comes out on Blu-ray.
That's for another
and
day.
I've almost forgotten everything else I was going to talk about because that is so cool.
That's okay.
Battlestar Galactica The Plan on Blu-ray and DVD. It is a must-have for any Battlestar Galactica fan.
And I wouldn't call it a great movie, and don't watch it if you haven't seen the series.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the series, it's almost irrelevant to you.
Yeah, but it's really neat because you'll be like, oh, that's how that happened, at least in retrospect. And oh, look how that swerved in. I mean, it's not as dark. That's what I thought was interesting. It wasn't nearly as dark as the series itself was.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a.
Did I stumble you on that one? Did you?
You
lose
did. Track? What was I talking about? It's essentially it tells the first two seasons of Battlestar Galactica from the Cylon perspective, and it's very cool. And it's actually shows the first time that you get to see the other colonies,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was incredibly cool. Directed by Edward James Olmos.
Yes.
I enjoyed it. I would recommend it. So also, Monty Python Almost the Truth,
mm-hmm.
which is the Monty Python reunion DVD. Oh. If you're a Monty Python fan, which I am,
mm-hmm.
then you know what you need to do. So
okay.
There you go.
All right. Oh, good, good. It's my turn.
On to Kevin Carr with more.
Well, the big one this week that was on the shelves is Ice Age 3. Now, it's not in 3D, but it's got tons of stuff. If you get the Blu-ray, it comes packed with the DVD. But if you're going to get it, don't get just the single pack. Either get the Blu-ray or the double disc DVD because it has an entire section of Scrat movies. And when I say Scrat, I'm talking about the little saber-tooth squirrel, mm-hmm. which is the best. Excuse me. That's the best part of the movie. Mm-hmm. So you get the Scrat shorts and... good one for the kids. And another for the kids is Tinkerbell. I'm sure you're dying to see this movie, aren't you, Neil?
Oh, I am very interested in no.
Yeah, Tinkerbell, it's the new Tinkerbell movie, CG, and it's in a Blu-ray DVD combo. Definitely worth checking out if you got a kid in your house who happens to be a girl, like Neil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's also, I got to give a shout out to the Stargate 15th anniversary edition on Blu-ray. This is, I think, the first time.
I know. I was so disappointed that I did not get a copy of this.
Yeah.
I might actually have to go buy it today when I head over to the Best Buy
yeah.
store.
Well, what's neat, it's got just the original version of the film. It's got the unrated extended version, which it's unrated just because it's not rated. But it's got new featurettes, and it's the first time on Blu-ray. This, if you are watched the series like SG-1 or Atlantis or Universe, this is going back to where it started. So yeah, on Blu-ray from Lionsgate, which is an awesome pick. So I'd definitely say pick that one up. There's also mm-hmm. the Saturday Morning Cartoons Volume 2 for 60s and 70s. Did you get these? Do you watch these?
Oh yes, they are awesome.
It's just like watching Boomerang. But what's neat about it is if you put the disc in, it's not like when they say, okay, here's the Super Friends and we got all their episodes. It's sort of a compilation, so it gives you all the different kinds of cartoons. You go to Looney Tunes, you go to these weird Hanna-Barbera mm-hmm. things like Augie Doggy that you've never remember, or McGilla mm-hmm. Gorilla. These yeah. are awesome.
Who says you don't remember a Gilla Gorilla?
Well,
I do.
McGilla Gorilla was a big one.
Yeah.
You remember him so well, you got his name wrong. That's awesome.
So? I remember watching it.
I want to do one real quick, a throwback to one. The Stepfather, I finally got a copy of that on DVD. if you've seen the remake, you should still see this movie because the remake was it was terrible. But the original one with Terry O'Quinn, who's from John Locke from Lost, it's mm-hmm. an awesome movie. It's a great 80s thriller.
This is what they tell me.
And it's R-rated too, so it's definitely awesome.
Nice.
Definitely awesome.
What's our stinker of the week?
Orphan. With
of course, with the stupidest ending of the year.
Yeah, it was very similar to Amelia. It was sort of like Amelia meets Michael Jackson's This Is It.
Wow.
Orphan, the ending. Yeah, that was a terrible movie. There was also like Nothing Like the Holidays was out on, which
fair enough.
Wasn't that good. But, you know.
Nice. Well, it's time to wrap up our reviews. First, we said we saw A Serious Man, and I said it totally rocks.
And I said, you know, it kind of sucks, but I might like it better in a second viewing.
And then, of course, we moonwalked through a fat guy smackdown of This Is It. Yeah. And I said it totally rocks.
Yeah, and I said it sucked.
Well, there you go.
It was just a chance to try and get more money.
Anyway, next week on Fat Guys the Movies, we're going to review Richard Kelly's The Box, A Christmas Carol, The Fourth Kind, The Men Who Stare at Goats, and that's it. I thought there was another one there, but okay. There's not.
Thanks for leading us up to something awesome at the end there.
We're going to have those. In the meantime, here's how you can get a hold of us. Go over to fatguysthemovies.com. You can get all of our information, including Kevin Carr wrapping up his 31 days of horror movies stuff, which is very cool. You can get us on iTunes. Go to iTunes, subscribe, review us, download us. Just search Fat Guys the Movies. Email us, fatguysatfilmschoolrejects.com. You can call us, 614-388-8735. And follow us on Twitter. I'm twitter.com/rejects, and Kevin is twitter.com/KevinCarr with two R's. In the meantime, stay safe on Halloween, and go scare your neighbors.
Shimona!
No.